Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Woo, Dr. Price, welcome to your show today. It's going to be good. Your callers are already lined up.
Well, hey, Ashley, again, and we have here another magnificent Thursday. I think God smiles on these Thursdays. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think he looks forward to them. I think he might look forward to them a little more than we do because he knows he's going to be able to speak to his people and somebody's going to get it right.
And, you know, now it's interesting, Ashley, that you said that, and I'm glad that you did because that's what I was thinking before the call. I was thinking, you know, God, it was. I said, you know, God, this is such an amazing opportunity that I get to speak to God's people and to, even if we just get, Ashley, you know, four or five people that we cover, the issues that we cover are so universal in so many cases, and the myriad of responses that we get, you know, people get answers, other people get answers. I mean, even we can say that we've had people get on a call and say, I'm not sure, I think you just answered my question, but since I'm on, so I want to say, isn't that how they do it? I think,
That's so true. Well, by the time you get done with the exhortation, for some people it's like, okay, let me find something else, because
You know, it's kind of like getting what you need for a birthday present while you're in the store shopping for it. You know, it's like, okay, well, I kind of got that. So while I'm here, I'll find something else. So I look forward to doing this. I welcome everybody on this wonderful Thursday morning in September. We're having a great autumn in Oklahoma. We're having a hot one, but we're having a great autumn. I want to talk to you today about reaching higher. Now, we just said that I enjoy doing these shows because they give me an opportunity to speak into your life and speak into what God is calling you to do and calling you to be. And the word for God today for all of you is reach higher. You know, one of the things that a classic, if you are in a classic and enlightened, I'd like to say classic and enlightened apostleship ministry, you are going to always be challenged to reach higher and to dig deeper. Reach higher outside of yourself and dig deeper inside yourself for success, for victory, for whatever. And the reason that is because, you know, I like this, because we know that one iota of the treasures that are in you is all you know about. You have no idea about the greatness, about the potential, and all of that that's in you. Now let me retract. I wanted to retract that because I think more precisely you do have an idea, which is why you call and you are on this phone with me on Thursdays, why you listen in, because you know that there is this untapped, in many cases, undiscovered, and for some people, unknown greatness in you, potential that you have not been able to reach. That's the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His uniqueness is that he's your maker, so he is constantly breathing on that thing that he put in you. He knows. He's not asking you to do something that is so far out of your scope you need to be another person to get it done. Jesus is dealing with you from the moment you come into his body. Because just like you are always tending your body, he's always tending his body. And so he's breathing on you that thing that made him give you life. He's breathing on you that thing that made him call you from the ranks of the dead to the living, from the lost to the found, you know, from the unsaved to the saved, regenerate from the unregenerate. God called you into his greatness for a purpose, but it's not just a single purpose. If I could give you a perception shift today. Every now and then I like to do that. I would like to say I'd like to shift our perception of destiny. Destiny is a complex network, not a single lane journey. And I want to, you know, if you're taking notes, remember that. Destiny is a complex network and not a single lane journey. So Jesus is always calling and causing you to come into the final destination. Now, that destination could be a place, a city, a town, a street, a business, a family, a group of friends, an association, and on you go. It can be all of that, but understand, destiny is not a single act. You don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to leap into my destiny, because you don't know what that is. And so the reason that you have a destiny is because you are equipped. You are empowered. God stocked you to achieve a number of things along the way to the ultimate reason why he has called you into his family and into his kingdom of light. You know, so I would like to encourage some of you today, reach farther. You know, the church, because of how we soften things and how we so want you to feel loved, we're not necessarily as equally concerned about you feeling confident. We're not as equally concerned about your sense of achievement, your gratification in what you do in life, because we just want you to feel loved. That's the dominant thing. And as sweet as it is and as wonderful as it is, even as well-intended as it is, it's somewhat crippling because people's perception of love is very different. You know, you come from a loving home, feeling love is one thing. You come from an abusive home, that's something else, because to you, love may mean making you vulnerable, making you feel threatened and afraid. It may conjure up other memories. And so our job as God's apostles and prophets, those people who have been in your playbook, been in your life book, we know that there are things about you that we have to awaken. We have to help you discover. We have to unearth. God always gives me that word about the treasures in us. He said, but they must be unearthed. And I think that that is a kind of equal interesting duality. Unearth, dig it up out of the earth, and using it as an allegory or metaphor. But then there's that other one. It has to be unearthed from the earth, unpinned from the things of this earth that are suffocating you, the things, the perceptions you have, the ideas, the expectations. Sometimes your expectation is so much on what this world says, you can't discover that God might say something different. You're not even prepared for him to tell you something different. That's another value of the prophetic, effective, developed prophetic, because it tells you the things that you don't always realize about yourself. Because we're always looking at ourselves from the inside out, from all of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and didn'ts. And God is looking at us from the I did, I gave, I prepared, I programmed, I installed, I awakened, etc. The outside world is looking at the final decisions we make from all of our internal choices and internal options. It's looking at our final decisions and the effects of that. So there is a lot about you you don't know. But a great deal about you that you do know, that's in, if, for example, in your conscious mind, hey, you are not even sure how accurate that is, how clear it is, how precise it is, even how relevant to the times. I would like to use two examples. One example is that a lot of times growing up, you are filled with your parents' broken dreams and broken destinies. That's why so many of you are frustrated right now, because we still haven't found you. We got aunt, auntie, uncle, cousin, the people who teased you in school, and all of that kind of stuff that is suffocating your ability to see who you are or even to allow God to break through from the inside of you what he intended you to become outside. And so you have to ask yourself today, whose destiny am I living? My mother says that she always wanted to be a dancer, so I had to go to dance school. My father always wanted to be, you know, a builder, so I had to go and do this and on and on. But when you start exploring destiny, which is what we do through our company, that's why I can speak to it so much, when you start genuinely exploring destiny, you have to unearth yourself, unpin yourself from the old dreams of other folks who didn't fulfill theirs. And a lot of times you're treating your destiny, or you're pursuing your destiny, which is not yours. It's the corpse of somebody else. And some people are dragging around these destiny corpses, somebody else's dead dreams and broken this and didn't get an opportunity for that, so much so you think it's you. And so and you resent when your own destiny starts trying to fight its way out and kick its way out of that that graveyard of broken dreams that someone else buried you in. You fight your own instincts. Oh, no, that's not me, because if that was me, somebody would have seen it. Well, that can't be me, because somebody would have said so-and-so, and on and we go. So you have to ask yourself, how many corpses are laying on the thing God called you to do and become? Do you have this mother who couldn't sing or who got the great singing opportunity and made a bad choice? And ask yourself, if you're parents, are you doing that to your own children? And if you're a pastor, are you doing that to your own church? So that's one thing I wanted to bring out, that many times the destiny that you start out in life with, very few people start on their own because they are buried beneath the corpses of everybody else. Auntie's story about when it happened to her. No, you don't want to pursue that because, I mean, I tried to do that. It's a plus or minus thing. And I hear God saying to somebody today, shake off their grave cloth too, because you might be pursuing a dead work because it was not yours, but you are feeling loyalty or you're just conditioned or programmed because that's what you've always heard growing up. There's why so many people are lost in their 20s. You got to shake off what your parents put on you for the first 15, 18 years of your life. Now, we all have some astute parents. Some parents are very astute. And so they say, you know what, I can see this is who you are. If you are a parent that's very prophetic, you'll say, I see this is who you're called to be, or this is what God told me. And so that, you know, that's right. For the most part, you know, people have children they didn't plan under circumstances that they didn't create and on and on. And yet we're still responsible for bringing these lives into fullness. But if we haven't resolved these issues in ourselves, then we are definitely going to pass along. Because here's the truth. Whether you are leading as a parent, leading as a pastor, leading as a business owner, here's the truth. What you haven't resolved, you will pass along because you've not closed it out. And so a lot of you are just dealing with people's past long hurts and brokenness. And so you yourself are weighed down. You don't even know why. You don't have any idea. Why am I feeling like this? You don't know, because you are burdened with things that were not yours. And so God is saying to you today, I need you to let me sit and talk with you about what I did. What did God do for you? What did he put in you? What makes you who you are? The next thing we deal with is we're always dealing with, you know, the public's perception of us. The hardest thing for you to do to fulfill your destiny is to ignore popular sentiments about you. Everybody has an opinion. God bless them. That means the brain is working. That doesn't mean it's accurate. But everyone has an opinion, and they should. We're living beings. So you are going to have to sort through all of the naysayers and the gainsayers in your life and all of the people you trust, and you're going to have to know what's yours to do, and you're going to have to do it because it's you and your time. Even if you have an older mentor, you have to be careful about that. You know, they can be just as risky sometimes as the younger ones, because you have to be careful about how dated their counsel is, how dated their wisdom is. Is it fitting for today, for the trends of today? I mean, what we told people was church 25 years ago is not church today. So if you've got this dated counsel, it too is strangling your destiny. It's strangling your ability to even allow God or recognize that God is waking you up to some things or awakening some things in you. And so you have to know that. And then here's another question that I found in the church, and that is people who are enslaved to a destiny of an old move. Again, that's a corpse. Because here you are, you've said that you grew up in mom's church or you grew up in this church or that church, and you sat there, that kid on a pew or in children's church, and you looked at them do all of these things. You're like, I want that. That's me. I want that. When I grow up, I'm going to be just like Pastor so-and-so, just like Sister this or Brother that or whatever. You are so fascinated that you become fixated as a youngster growing up in the house of God. And so because of that fascination, you tend to only want God to move in one way. You will only respond to one way because it fits the vow you made. So you already decreed what's going to be your destiny. And when things happen that don't allow it, you are confused. Now, I've had those people come in my church often over the years. And if you're a pastor, you'll know precisely what I'm talking about. You see the hand of the Lord on somebody for one thing, but they are so fixed on becoming what they dreamed as a kid that childhood fixation has never been resolved. So you cannot get them to accept the present because they're waiting to get a harvest on the past. Some of you all, your businesses are in trouble, your churches, your family, you're frustrated with God. God's not talking. You're not hearing. You guys are not on the same page. Your spiritual life is estranged, meaning that the warm, fervent, and vibrant relations you have with the Lord are gone, and you don't know why, because God's in the present. God's not in the past. And so a lot of you sow in those past churches and those past ministries for a present harvest. And now the day of harvest is coming, and you want to go someplace else when they're pulling in the crop. Or you want to stay there where they planted the seed and that they didn't sow the ground. So you don't have a right there, but God wants to send you where he is giving you some harvest. And so we deal with that all the time. People want to come in and do old visions and old dreams. And we want to, well, when I was a kid, that was really wonderful. Let's start with the beginning of the sentence, when I was a kid, because life has moved on. So I'm going to tell you today, some of you need to update your perception of how God's going to fulfill your destiny. Some of you would need to update how you see church being done. Instead of trying to be the one to go take us back to the good old days and old landmarks and the old rusted churches of the past, instead of that, be progressive. I have a lot of leaders are like that. They're like, I don't understand. God just stopped talking. Well, because you and God are not on the same subject. When you shift to what he wants to do, he'll start talking again. But once God makes up his mind and he accepts that you have resolved not to go to the next thing he wants to do, he'll come back and get you, but he's moving on. When Jesus was getting ready to leave, and before he got ready to leave, he started going around trying to enlist other people to be a part of his initial starting team for the church. And he went to this one, Lord, I got to go bury this, and I got to go bury that and all of that. And you know, the people were living their lives. They were the business as usual, but they were unaware that shift was coming, that a paradigm shift was coming, change was coming, and whatever they were putting him off for was getting ready to disappear, and it wouldn't matter. And so he's going, you follow me, and you follow me. And, of course, people couldn't read the signs of the times, and I thought this is Jesus. And, you know, I've looked at those 12 that they better follow him, and they have a really hard life. It's a tough road for them. And so they were giving him all kinds of excuses. Some people were just, I'm a family first person, so I got to go take care of my family. Someone else, I'm work first, so I got to go do my job, you know. Someone else, I'm community first, so I got to go do this little activism thing. They all had another first. And so Jesus did not argue with them, because he's not going to argue with you over things like that. God can't enter futile arguments because he's too powerful. His words bear fruit. And if he doesn't want that fruit in your life, he will just go silent. So he didn't argue with them. The Bible said the Lord moved on. But can you imagine a year from that day that they told God, I'm busy? Your kids have moved out the house. The same kid that made you miss your call, they done went off and got mad or run away. The same job, the company has now changed hands and laid you off. See, and on and on. Jesus knew that. He was choosing them based on what he knew. He was coming down the line, but they couldn't hear it because they were stuck in the present and in love with their vision of the past. And so here's Jesus. He's saying, okay, and it says the Lord moved on. So what happened? A year later, we've got Jesus is gone. We've got these same 12 guys that you thought were flunkies and grunts are now sitting on top of the kingdom. We've got mobs and mobs of people picking up a call we blew off. Why? Because we were looking for a harvest in the past. And we should have been trying to prepare ourselves to reap forever into the future. It looked hard. What those 12 guys went through looked hard, but it looked very prestigious when the rest of the plan played out. And that's what God would like to say to you today. Some of you all, you're going to have to give up. We're going to sing the good old, do the good old we used to do. Why can't we go back? We are not going back. God is a forward God. Some of you are a part of the next thing he wants to do. And so he's speaking to you contrary or to everything that you heard. And some of it may be contradictory. But that's how he is. But I'm telling you, some of you sow and you're sitting home, you're frustrated, you're sitting home licking your wounds, blaming the pastor that has gone on to be with the Lord, blaming the church that has gone and done something else, blaming everybody because you couldn't deal with the vetting process, the proven process of your destiny. And listen to me, I want to tell you something. The more challenging the trial, the greater the destiny. If you can sit around your table and say, oh, no, God hardly bothers me, you need to back up and think about what you're saying. God is hardly bothering with you. But if you say, well, every time I turn around, I've got this, I've got that, you need to get with the right connection and that right mentor to help you understand, oh, no, that's the Lord. The Lord is doing this. He's doing this because he's getting you ready for, and he's getting you ready for. And so I think about this, and as I thought about it, God kept saying, I want them to come into another place. I don't just want you to come up higher, because you can't come up higher if you can't reach higher, if you can't see higher, if you can't look higher. If you don't know that there's a fourth landing, you're going to stop on the third and move in. Somebody has to tell you there's a fourth landing. And so God wants you to do that. He also wants you to dig deeper. That means go beyond people's perception of who you are. Go beyond how they think you should be. Go beyond what mom said you ought to be in and all of the sense of failure you felt she put on you because you didn't do what she didn't do. Go beyond the fact that you didn't make the team and so dad it never lets you forget it even though he didn't make the team either. You know, let's start thinking wise and logical, open our minds and kind of put these situations in the proper context. And I hear God saying to some of you all, I want to do something different. I'm going to visit you. I'm coming back. I'm going to visit you in your life. I'm going to visit you in your dreams. I'm going to visit you in prayer. I'm going to visit you in church. I may visit you through your pastor or through your minister, but I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to make you an offer. And when I make you this offer, I'm not going to beg you, manipulate you, paint a picture, or dangle a carrot. God doesn't dangle carrots. He doesn't have to. He did not just make one person for a job. In order for him to accommodate the unbelief and the free will that we all have, he has to make several people who are likely candidates for something. Think about what happened in the garden, and I want you to open your ears because I'm going to go a little abstract on you for you to get this. When Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, think about this. I want you to hear me because this principle carries in every area of life. And so they were evicted from the garden, and Adam, before they did, and God, before he evicted them, he told Eve, he said, listen, I will greatly multiply your conception and your sorrow. Now, understand, everything about humanity on earth began with the two objectives, be fruitful and multiply. Multiplication didn't die just because they missed it. They just multiplied their decision. And so God is like that now. He's still in multiplication. He's still a multiplying God. We just like to think he's multiplying just the great things we do. No, the system is built, and God's system really is built. And it's not stacked against us. It's stacked for the saints to either benefit for it or to come under it or to be better, made better by it. But there is still multiplication. So when God comes, he's not going to dangle a carrot because he's already multiplied how many people he's going to need to do this, and he already has given everybody in his own sense of fair play an opportunity to do the job or to take on the task or to follow him. And so our attitude is, well, he hasn't said anything since then. That should be concerning. That should not be, wow, I finally got him off my back. That should be, oh, wait a minute, he hasn't said anything. Matter of fact, he hasn't said anything. So today, as we go forward in our calls, I want you to understand, I said, I need you to reach higher. And I need you to dig deeper. And I need you to feel as concerned and enthusiastic about the reason I put you in the planet and gave you breath and keep you going as I am. God is enthusiastic about this day and this hour in many of your lives. He's enthusiastic about it. He's thrilled because you're coming up on a time that his vision for you is happening, that his purpose for you is happening. And so that's the word I wanted to share with you today. I felt like as we were getting ready for the call, I kept thinking, but God wants to bring some people in. He's drawing you in, and he's drawing you in. And my job today, if you made this call today or if you were fortunate enough to listen to it later, I want to tell you my task, the task that's before me, is to give you some information to help you hear differently, to give you new ears to hear. You know, information is to give you new ears to hear. Because if you don't get new ears, you're going to hear by the old ears, and it's not going to be information at all. It's just going to be noise. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You know, when you have that means your ears are old. Because when your ears are alive for information and new things, you can read something old and see another piece in it, another enlightenment in it. How many of us have watched our favorite film over and over again and found another piece in it even after years? Why? Because lively ears hear for new things. And you're always hearing for it. You realize that a great percentage of the inventions that we have today, the innovations that we're running on today, are based on people who looked at an old idea a new way, who heard old information or old instructions a new way. And so even in your life, I say this to you because I want you to get it. Even in your life, I need you to take today and say, I'm going to start looking at the old things a new way. I'm going to look at the mundanity a new way. I'm going to look at all of that a new way. And the reason, because inventions come out of that. There is nothing new under the sun, so you're always going to have to make old things new. Jesus does that. He said, behold, I make all things new. Why? What is he saying? He said, the former things are no more. He's taking the old, and he's looking at it, and he's handling it a new way. So if you've got a journal, you've got some prophecies, you've got call, you've got some prayers on the line, begin to look at them a new way. When you go to church this Sunday or this week, and you sit down before the Lord, ask God to give you new ears to hear, because a new ear hears new ideas. An old ear hears old ideas. They hear dead works. Old ears will always hear and be locked on dead work. New ears, new ideas. That's a powerful statement. And for somebody here, that is very, very essential. So I've done my part. Ashley, are you there? I know you didn't hang up, so I have to say, are you ready?
Woo! That's good. That's good. That's good. And I'm looking at these posts. Some of them popping up online. Some of them coming through my text message. That is an on-time word, I think, for everybody, but definitely for some people on a different level who are standing right now thinking, how do I get to the next place and how do I get out of my stuck place?
Yeah, you're right. And again, first, can we name it? You know, you can't process what you can't name. Because all of life works by words, because God does works. So I don't know what my stuck place is. Is it mama's dream? Is it grandmom's hope? Is it the teacher that told me I'm never going to be anybody? You know, you have no idea what that anchor is, but there is an anchor of death on your destiny you must discover. And every one of us have it. And some people have more than one, or either that anchor is a composite. But there is an anchor of death on your destiny you must discover. What that is, because if you cannot name it, you won't know the tools or resources to eliminate it, to get beyond it. You know, that's what I love about God and his people, and I love doing this. Actually, you know, I've been training you in this manner, you guys, for years. And if we're leaders, we have to realize that people are coming to us from something, someone, and someplace. We cannot just keep pushing them along before we discover what that is, because if we don't discover what it is, we're either going to be an add to, a breakdown, or a gloss over.
Wow. You heard it here first, folks. The Paula Price Show.
Wasn't that wonderful? But, you know, it is wonderful. I love this. I love empowering people. You know, my whole slogan is empowering people with God's wisdom. You know, I want to empower your life with God's wisdom, because the more powerful you make people, the more potent they become, and the more effective and productive they are in their life and yours. Not everybody is like the 10 lepers. Somebody comes back to say thank you. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to empower our people. So what else do we have going on? Now that I've got everything all on fire, Ashley, now what are we doing?
Yeah, it's pretty lit up. But we have some people lined up for you today. Would you like to talk to some people out there?
I'm thinking that probably should happen. But before we
Excellent.
Do, Ashley, I want you to talk about our event. We've got coming up in October and in September, October, November. Hey, the next 3 months, Ashley, you've got me busy.
That's right. That's right. People will not have an excuse not to connect with Dr. Paula Price on so many levels. September 24th through the 28th, right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Dr. Price is going to be hosting her Executive Apostleship Training Retreat, and it is a closed by invitation only session for those in the apostolic and apostleship on various levels for the training and development. It's concentrated training. This is the thing so many people have been asking for. Dr. Price, when can we just have you sit down and just get you for 3 or 4 days? Well, now you have your opportunity. If you qualify for the training, if you are interested in the training, you can always call us or email us. For that, we've sent out multiple emails about it, and we've gotten a nice positive response for that. The first weekend in October, Dr. Price is going to be in Joliet, Illinois, for the Chicagoland Summit. And so, you know, I always, Chicago is still, to me, Dr. Price, so mafia sometimes, and of course the lighter sense of the word, but that it's just a strong seat of apostleship.
and that strength comes out of that area. So if you are in the Chicago area, the surrounding area, Indiana, Illinois, of course, and anything around that, go visit drpaulaprice.com to get that information for that conference as well. She will be there with Apostle Nona Parker and Apostle Raphael Robinson, and they are going to be putting this on, bringing apostleship in this dimension to that area. Dr. Terry Thompson is going to be there. So there's your new era apostleship restitution group is going to be there, Dr. Price.
Well, I'm excited. And then what do we have going in November?
Let me see, November. What do we do in November? I'm just kidding. It's Thanksgiving. No, it is Thanksgiving. But it's the Apostolic Summit. It'll be here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I tell you what, so many people took advantage of the buy one, get one. It was over on the 10th, and now we're moving on. The early bird is still in effect. The group rate is, of course, always going to be in effect, and the couples rate. And so here in Tulsa, November 21st through the 23rd, Apostolic Summit. Now, this is for the entire fivefold. That's why the executive apostleship training is for those in apostleship, but the summit is for anybody in the body of Christ, whether you are an apostolic, because we're all apostolic Christians if we believe in Jesus, or a minister, people are bringing their groups. There's a nice delegation coming out of Texas. I saw them hit the registration mark before it expired, and I believe we're having a nice crew coming out of Louisiana, probably one coming out of Chicago, just to name a few, and it's going to be quite the showing, no doubt, at least as successful as the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. And it's going to be remarkable. Dr. Paula Price, Apostle Raphael will be there. Dr. Terry Thompson, Apostle Nona Parker are those that are confirmed for sure who are going to be a part of this amazing experience of God. Apostle Sally Cheney. Mm-hmm. Who am I missing?
Sterling out of California.
Apostle Sterling out of California. And, yes, and so it's going to be a powerful time.
Well, I think you ran it down fairly well, I have to say. I'm pleased with you covering the ground. And I want to tell you all, those of you, you know, think about what we just discussed the first half hour of this call, and you'll see what I like to impart in my closed sessions. Now, you all got the nutshell, the nuggets, and the surface. As a matter of fact, I gave you the froth off the coffee. So you got the froth, and some of you even got the whipped cream. But I want to empower you to empower others. And that can't happen in a global front. That can't happen in a conference of 500 people. Conferences are great, but you don't build leaders in conferences. And that's something that the church is going to learn. You don't build powerful people, thinkers, thought shapers, and all of that in conferences. That's smaller venue, smaller number, closed session, because you don't just say it and spray it. You have to work through it. And so that is what's going to happen at the end of this month. I'm inviting you again. We have pretty much hit our limit, but I'm inviting you, if you feel that God has called you to be a life changer and empower a change agent that does change lives and begets other change agents, then you need to go to my website, Dr. Paula Price. Just go there and under contact me, say, listen, I want to find out if I can get in on that. And then we'll ask you some information, because I do want those who can do what they say they can do. This is not a looky-loo. This is not for the newcomers. This is not my moment, my day in the sun. This is for people who have rolled up their sleeves and are ready to roll up their sleeves and make life happen for themselves, for others, and for the king. So if that's the case, then I want you to do that. We have quite a few very relevant and very strategic and tactical activities planned. You're going to love it. It's very unique. It is not a conference. So if you're looking for a conference, this is not it. You want to go meet me in October in Joliet, that's a conference. You can meet me in Tulsa here in November, that's a conference. This is for the people who know their call to make things happen. You're experienced, you're seasoned, you're ready. You know, this is the power force. You don't change powerful people in a conference. And one day we're going to wake up to that. You don't change 15 million people. There's a reason why Jesus had 12 apostles, even though throngs follow him. And then he picked certain disciples. Why? Because he was setting up those who would be setting up his kingdom to set up others for success. So, anyway, Ashley, that's where I am. Now, give me a call, please, ma'am.
I think I can work one up for you. All right, we have on the line, actually, Dr. Price. Amethyst is on the line today. She is first, and she wants more of God and is seeking him about direction for her life, connecting with mentors. She needs wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. So this is your girl, Amethyst, from Missouri. Amethyst,
oh,
welcome to the show.
Hey!
How are you doing?
I am great. Well, you sound exciting to be here. I know I'm glad to hear from you.
I am. I've been listening for a while, and I'm really excited that I got through today. So,
wow. Well, did you appreciate our opening exhortation?
I really did. And actually, you answered a lot of questions just through that exhortation.
Good. But you still have one or two more, right?
I mean, you hit so many points, and really you just helped me get even a clear picture of what my question is. So my question, my prayer request is centered around I'm wanting to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. Whatever is relevant that God needs me to do, I want to do that. And my husband and I were seeking direction, you know, for specific things financially, for a child and things like that. But whatever God wants me to do and where he wants me to be, that's more what my prayer request is today.
Okay, so Amethyst, I'm going to ask you a few questions, not just for my sake and the
yes.
sake of your own clarity, but also for our listeners. Are you and your husband currently in ministry, or are you working in a ministry?
My husband is a social pastor at our local ministry,
okay.
here in St. Louis.
And how long has he done that?
Actually, it's probably been about a year he served as the associate pastor.
Great, great. Sounds great. Congratulations to him.
Thank
now,
you.
I know you have, but has he taken the assessment?
No, he hasn't, but he definitely plans on taking it. He's excited about it. He's going to send in the information soon.
Good. Here's the reason I'm asking. I like how you phrased the statement, to be a part of what God is doing in the earth. And the only thing I would
yes.
put on that is comma today, question mark.
Yes.
I mean, exclamation
yes.
mark,
yes.
today. Because you have been, as far as I recall, you've been a very active person, have had a heart for God. As long as I've had awareness of you, you've had a heart for God and to do the things that God needs. But
yes.
again, it becomes today for you and so many who are on our call today, you are going to have to find out what God is doing. It's not enough for us to be abstract and ethereal in our objectives in God now.
Yes.
We're going to have
yes.
to pinpoint that thing. What is God doing? And in order to do that, you have to make, and again, it goes to this what I was saying. You're going to have to find out who God is doing things in. Who are the change agents of the day? Because we
yes.
have a lot of maintainers, we have a lot of custodians, but we also now have a lot of catalysts. You want to move from the maintainer and the custodian to the catalyst. A maintainer is that person that's going to keep things, or those are those churches that have been around 50, 100 years and going to be around 50, 100 more, and they're right. There's nothing wrong with that. They are maintainers. They're not going to be churches for innovation because that's not their call. They're maintainers. They're going to
mm-hmm.
maintain the body. They're going to keep congregations going. They're not going to be too innovative. You're not going to get too many new ideas out of it because that's not the purpose of it. You're not going to get
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of unusual things. God's not going to move in great waves. There often he may move in a wave every 15, 20 years because that's not their job. Their job is to be the stabilizing force. They are that foundation, the bedrock of the faith. Then you've got
uh-huh.
these other churches that are custodians. These are the people who just are the caretakers. They're going to just mm-hmm. take care of what God is doing. And they tend to be that transition. When you're coming out of that maintainer, you're going to move into that custodial area because you're no longer part of the established, you know, thing that God is doing. And you're also not yet where you're going to be, but that custodian is going to be the one that's going to babysit the latest thing God did. And so
mm.
just hold on. I'm going to babysit the latest thing God did. So they're going to keep that going. I'm going to keep the floors going, going to keep the windows shining, keep the light on, you know, keep on bringing it through. I'm going to do that. That's that caretaker. They're just going to take care of what God has already done. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the pool that God goes in to breathe the most on. Now, that's not saying he doesn't do anything with the maintainers, but that's where he breathes the most on. And that's the pool you find yourself in right now. I know that I'm just marking time. I'm holding on. I'm holding fast. But there has to be more. Now, God is doing this. Here's what's happening with you, my beloved. Mm-hmm. You're going to love this. Here's what's happening with you. God is not moving you as fast as you want because he needs you to be surer.
Mm.
See, catalyst duty is very, very different from any other. If God is calling you to be a part of the new thing he's doing and where he's going, you are a very different person. And you have to, that's a major investment. And not a lot of people are going to make that investment. You realize that there are people that wanted to follow Jesus. And he said, no, you go back and tell your friends and tell your family what a wonderful thing I did. Other people who didn't seem like they wanted to follow him, he said, you come. Why? Commitment and cost.
Yeah.
Remember, commitment and cost. And see, it's one thing to say, yeah, this is what God called us to do, and by gosh, I'm going to do it until the trials come.
Yeah, that's true.
When the trials come, because God is going to try you every step of the way. Now, why does God try us like that? We already told him we love him. We've already told him that we're going to do what he wants. We've said, God, anything you ask, we've said it, but now God said, show it.
Yeah, wow.
So you're going to get a lot of tests before you get out of custodial care. You're
going to
get a lot of tests before you get out of there, because before when you whatever movement you make in there will determine whether you go back to being maintained or whether you go forward into change.
Mm-hmm.
And so God is saying to you, you're going to a lot of time. That's why for some people it's like 20, 30 years. You're like, what? Because the longer the trial, the more powerful. The kingdom, you've gone from brother having a ministry to moving into a church, moving into multiple churches, to moving into regions, to moving into nation, to moving into eternity. See, there's that's an escalating thing. So where you are with God right now, you're in custodial care. God's like, how sure are you? Because I know your potential. He knows your potential to touch something and make it happen. He knows that if you decide to do it, it's going to be amazing. But he also knows that you have strings on your heart.
Yes.
That can turn into tripwire later on down the line. And he doesn't want to be tripped up by your heartstrings.
Yes.
So that's why you and God are on this holding pattern. So, yeah, you're going to have a kid. But the problem is you have to resolve how you're going to have this kid. Because, see, I'm going to tell you, especially as a woman, a lot of women will never fulfill destiny. They just won't. It will not happen. And I can go on record saying that, and I'll take every Facebook post you want to have, every email, and I will prove to you one-on-one, I'll prove to you a million-on-one. The lion's share of women with a call on their life today will not fulfill destiny. Amethyst, ask me why.
Why?
Your pastor's going to tell you no, your man is going to tell you no, and your kids are going to cry.
Come on, wow.
That's the call. And not a lot of women can manage that, because not a lot of people can balance that emotional surrender to one thing with the total surrender that God requires. Now, we'll make it logical. Your husband is going to tell you, I'm sorry, I don't care what you say, we have my dinner on the table, I'm telling you I'm not going to go to sleep without my wife at night. There you go. That's out. You will not fulfill destiny. That's a decision you made. That's fine, but let's be real. Okay, your kid is going to cry, you'll never have, I don't like, that's fine, you're going to have that. So the majority of women in the body of Christ today will not fulfill destiny, and they're going to have to settle for that secondary thing of being a good wife and mother in the home.
Mm.
So before God trusts you with his best, he's got to see how you can handle your emotional commitment.
Yes, okay.
And you're going to have to make some hard calls. Now, here's the problem with that. Because if that's not a challenge enough. You know, I like being Paula Price. I'm 32 years in this thing. Nobody has helped me do much of anything. I owe nobody nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say what God says. Now, I have some wonderful people that I love as friends, but bottom line, it's about time us as a church to take the glossy veneer off of our rhetoric and see what it looks like. Theology has to land on people, and people have to live it out.
Yes.
It doesn't just stay in the book. And so we have a lot of theology that tells you that you, if your husband's not called, you're not called, that he calls you all together. Now, who says that? Who said that because I'm a singer, you're an automatic singer? Give me a break. Some of that stuff doesn't even land in common sense. But yet we believe that.
Yeah.
So that's not Jesus Christ. That is not it. I'm telling you, I can prove to you over and over again. Now, that's a nice theology to keep the family intact. And baby, right now, the way he's struggling, we probably need to do that. But let's not say it's Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of theology that also fights against women being fulfilling destiny. So that's why God, when a woman fulfills destiny and achieves, you better know you got a powerhouse on your hand, because the odds are unbelievable and the obstacles are unrealistic. Some of them are bizarre.
Yeah.
So you're asking God for something that you need to rethink.
Asking God for something I need to rethink. Wow.
And so that's why I'm glad you're on. I could say a whole bunch of wonderful, lovely things, but you know me well enough to know that that's not who I am.
Oh, yeah. No, go right ahead.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, but I'm telling you. So a lot of women are going to have to, when you get on, when they come, get on the phone and say, I want to get married and fulfill my ministry, I think, baby, if you get married 9 times out of 10, you're not going to fulfill ministry, because that's going to be your ministry. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't walk around acting like God didn't fulfill the rest of his work. Now, there are some, because there are some wonderful husband and wife teams out there. I've met some, I've read about some, and I am quite impressed with them. But they aren't the anomaly. That's why I do remember their names. See, because there's not a lot of names to remember.
Yeah.
And so, but for the most part, you and your husband have had to rethink what that looks like because of both of you all's unique potential.
Yeah. I mean, it's so true. It's and this is something else that's going on. My husband has his own business, and a substantial amount of finances are being held up. So again, even to our finances, it's like in a holding pattern, and we're having to literally rethink our household and things that we're doing. So I mean, what you're saying is hitting probably every part of our life, not just ministry, but our own personal life.
Because you have to rethink it. What I hear God saying is that you have to sit down with your husband and prioritize your opportunities and your possibilities and your potential.
Okay.
Because you can't give equal attention to everything. So if finances is your priority, then you're going to have to put ministry on the back burner.
Wow.
You're not going to raise the money. If you're starting a business, the money is not going to come in simply because you want to pray and sling out some decrees. That is not how it works. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves, put in those 12-hour days. Now, if you're going to put in 12-hour days, you're going to have to prepare your family to live with that, see? Because now what we have not had in our prophecies fulfilled and our fluffy things that we say is we have not had anybody to lay out the logistics of us being successful. What does it take for us to succeed? Well, we can talk about, our family first. No, your family's not first. Trust me, it's not that. They can preach family first all day long, but everybody gets up and go to work every day and lead a family.
Yes, ma'am.
So obviously theology is not playing out in the theater of life. And until it does, it's not effective. So your kids are going to have to get used to not having mom and dad around if you both are doing this business together, and on. And the same requirement is there for ministry.
Yeah.
Your kids are going to have to get used to, okay, we're in the car all the time, we're in the church late at night, we have to go there, we don't get a chance to go to our game. But either way, here's what I want to leave you with on this call, my beloved. Success demands sacrifice.
Yes.
And success does not play according to the commoner's rules, which is why it's an uncommon thing. So if you're going to be successful, you're going to have to study. And, I mean, we like to tell people you can have it all. I mean, when I was, starting my family, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, you can have it all. That is the biggest lie anybody ever sold. Nobody has all anything. No, you can't have it all. It's an impossibility. So you have to lay out what you are pursuing and then determine what you're willing to give for it and then go after it in order of importance.
Because
success is not going to bend its rules for you. It'll pass you on. Success is like Jesus. It moves on.
Wow.
So if you don't want to play the rules, you don't want to play by the games, it's going to move on. Now, it's not leaving the planet, but it's going to leave you.
Yeah.
So here's what you and your husband are going to have to do. Whether it's ministry, whether it's business, or whatever, you're going to have to decide what is your priority. If you want to do business, it's going to take, for a successful business, it's going to take a lot, and not a lot of people have the energy or the skill or the perseverance to to trade off all of the trade-offs. Because remember, if you're pursuing success, you better have your bag of trade because you got to trade off a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if that's the first thing. The second thing I would say to you is that you yourself as a wife, you're going to have to decide where you fit in the scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why.
You said as a wife?
As a wife.
Okay, okay.
Because of the theological climate of our sector of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
we got to make some decisions. The last thing I will tell you, and this is not just for you, for all of you all who are listening today and all of you all who are on the call who will listen later, let me just say this to you. You have to decide if your marriage is made for success. A successful marriage does not mean that the people are successful. And often the people who are successful trade off on marriage.
Wow.
So not every, that's why so many people, the minute you get successful, the marriage dies. Because it wasn't made for success. It wasn't made for outer success. It was only made for matrimonial success, not professional success.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're trying to get married, I want to say to you right now, male or female, old or young, you better make sure that the person you marry understands the degree of success you're pursuing. And we'll go along with it. Because ultimately, you were the best.
Okay, everybody, don't go anywhere. Dr. Price just got bumped off the line. We're going to get her right back on the line. And with this, hold fast. We're going to go to a commercial break. And we will be right back to conclude this amazing wisdom from Dr. Paula Price.
Okay.
The journey we have been on is a journey of... All right. And today, you're not going to be whipping out tourniquets and Band-Aids and swabs. How's that? How's that? What if you just decide to chew it down and swallow it and eat it like it's going to help you? Now, we've talked a lot about character. What are some of the things that you all remember so far about the character piece that's important to where we're going? It takes consciousness. Anything else? Honesty. It takes honesty. You have to consider your heart and what's going on in there. Don't assume that just because you want it to be nice stuff in there, it's full of nice stuff. Hallelujah. You know how we like, God knows my heart. And nobody ever asked him, so what is it that he's really seeing? Especially if he says out of the abundance of the heart. What else? Take inventory of the things that you don't need any longer. How's that? Couple more. Anyone else? It takes agreement with? Agreement and compliance. I like that. In the back there. Recognize your cycles. That was a goodie. Wasn't that good? So you can know when you're entering your season of the setup. Hallelujah. Because you do have seasons of setups. You know, the Bible said that there is a what? A time and a season for every work and every purpose. So you realize that there are seasons that you're supposed to go through and you need to gear up and be ready to conquer. Instead of what we like to do, evade.
All right, we are back live on the line with Dr. Paula Price. We just had a technical situation. We know technology does happen to us sometimes, and you know that counsel was really, really good. So, Dr. Price, welcome back to the line. Amethyst is still ready, and you know your callers haven't gone anywhere.
Well, I thank you all. I just want to wrap it up on two thoughts, and that is, number one, I said the way to measure is how strong your marriage, your relationship gets between you and your spouse as you're pursuing the course of your success or destiny. If it gets stronger, you know that's it. If not, then you know that you need to take a break and work on your union and work on the common goals. And so for you two, God says to take in the next work on the ultimate marital institution you want to come out of this success pursuit. Find out where one another is. Find out how he feels, how you feel, and make it honest. You know, if you're going to fight, let's fight now. Fight before it's on the public stage. Fight now. Work it through. But you have to remember, no, it has to happen because two are called to do great things, but I'm telling you, there are some thin-skinned issues God wants you all to deal with.
Yes, true.
That's it. That's all he's saying. Now, he could do the rest. So a lot of times, God will hold up your success because he knows when he pulls the plug on that thing, that momentum is going to go and go and go, and it's going to sweep you away, and before you know it, you're estranged from each other even though you have achieved your goal. So he's taking his time, giving you a chance to build the infrastructure, and your marriage is the number one infrastructure of your future. So it's got to be strong. So you're going to have to sit down at the table, maybe go on a little retreat, however way you do it, but you all are going to have to plow through. Okay, listen, hon, we want to do this. Okay, babe, this is what we want to accomplish. Now, where are we in this? So how do you feel about this? How do you see it happening? What are the costs you see is going to happen? All of those kinds of things need to be addressed before God releases these funds, because I'm telling you, this machine is going to go fast, and if you all are not strong, it's going to sweep you away, and you'll look around. He's on one state and you're in another. Because you didn't agree at the outset of how this was going to go. You didn't put up guardrails. You didn't put up preservation. You didn't put up all of those things that you need to make sure that at the end you are both enjoying your success together on that beach.
Yeah.
That's where God is with you, my beloved.
Yes, ma'am. I receive it.
and I'm telling you, it's going to work. Now, I don't have a question about that. You know, and it is not my call, but I do think that there needs to be some sort of counselor that helps couples when it comes time for us to be successful. We throw people in ministry. We don't have any idea about the foundation, the bedrock rock of that union. Then we wonder why they divorce. No, there are couples who have a big vision need to have some sort of counseling and counselor who is going to help them, prep them to succeed in their success. I'm kind of pray about that because, you know, I think that's neat. And if any of you all are counselors out there, hey, you might need to explore that possibility because we can bring this marriage or this divorce rate down if we start having people understand what it really takes, giving them the real deal.
Well, I'm a licensed counselor here in Missouri, and that's pretty much what I do. So,
but sweetheart, you've got a whole new dimension to open up on.
Yeah.
You know, because you understand what I'm saying. Many times we are pursuing our aspirations for success are based on our childhood, based on our need, based on the stars in our eyes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about two people with stars in their eyes, you got a problem. So I would love to see you handle something like that because God was telling me, you know, success training in a family is not just one person's thing. I have, you know, when I was developing a church more aggressively than I am now, I used to require that before we had a pastor, we had to train that marriage to be a ministry family.
That's right.
You know, we're not just going to put you up there. We're going to train you because, see, you know, we need to understand what's going to happen, and especially people who are seasoned in marriage who are out there. You know the little games we play at home.
Mm-hmm.
See, those kinds of things we have to address. You all are going to do well. I have no doubt in my heart you're going to do well. But whether or not you do superb depends on you getting rid of those thin-skinned items.
You're
going to make it. And I can't wait. Now, listen, the next time you come in my town and I don't spend time with you, we're going to have
problems. I know. We actually plan on personally coming down there, and we'll let you know ahead of time.
I need you to do that because you are very important to me, and we reach back a ways. Let me pray for you so we can go on. But I thank you for calling in today. Let me pray.
Yes. All right.
Father, in Jesus' omnipotent, magnificent name, I bless you. I bless you for the kingdom that you have sent to earth. I bless you for the kingdom citizens that you are building and populating it with. I bless you for the saints of God that have been holding your church and moving forward. And God, I bless you for the families that make up all of this. Now, Lord, I lift up Amethyst family to you in the name of Jesus, Father God, and I cover them in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I put them in the vacuum they need for the next. I'm asking that you chair their discussions and you chair their complaints with each other and even their explorations, God, so that you can heal them and fortify them for the awesome thing that you have them doing, this awesome work that you have for them. I'm thanking you, Lord, for all of the vision that they have, even their children, God. I thank you for the children.
Thank you.
Because they need to come in ready to move. So they need to walk into this thing ready to go. So I thank you for the family that they'll have. I thank you for the success. But most importantly, God, I thank you that you write this in their hearts. Now, God, I stand hallelujah, as Samuel did with Saul. And now, Lord, the Bible said that when you got ready to use them, he told Saul, go among the prophets. And spend time with the prophets. And when he left them, he'd be turned into another man. God, he was turned into a king. So I'm asking, God, that you would give them the heart of their future, the heart of their calling, so that it's not just an intellectual or an emotional pursuit, but it is the literal fabric, architecture of their being. I'm asking you to do that today, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, and to the degree that they need their present needs met, I release the stipend of what you're calling them to reach.
Yes.
But, God, I thank you that they're going to have utter and complete success in you, that the funds will come.
Thank you, Lord.
Because you want them to succeed, and you've marked them for victory. And God says to tell you, Amethyst, this has nothing to do with whether or not you all will succeed. This has everything to do with whether you'll thrive in your success.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Ooh. God bless you, my beloved.
Thank you. God bless you. And we'll be seeing you soon.
Yes, ma'am. I'm holding you to it. Bye-bye.
Yes. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow. Well, that was good on a whole lot of rich levels.
Was it really? Well, you know, I like it, Ashley, when we talk to people and you can see the hand of God's victory all over them. But when you see the hand of God's victory, I've learned that nothing is all or every in life at all. There's nothing is all good or all bad. Nothing is everything and everyone. And so when you see that, I get to a place that I realize that, we, Paul said, that a great and effectual door has been opened to me and many adversaries. Oftentimes, we prophesy the door, and we don't equip people to conquer the adversaries. And so I like to cover both. You know, to tell people that they're going to have a worldwide ministry and not tell them all the obstacles in the world that's going to try to stop that, that they need to defeat all the obstacles in themselves, is defeated. And so I personally, I prefer to make sure that when we talk to God's people, they get an opportunity to also explore and get a jump on their opposition, to get a jump on the adversaries that are, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. Well, and to forearm them and also to pull down all of the stars that have been put in people's eyes about serving God and how if it's God, it's easy, and if there's some sort of opposition, it's the devil. Like he, you know, and of course there is demonic opposition, but some things are just the rules of success, the guardians against success that we have to strategize and learn how to defeat.
Exactly, and that's what I want. You know, my passion is our soul of success thing. So, but my thought is if we give people to the soul to succeed and not just the will to be successful, we can probably derail a lot of opposition and shortfalls and setbacks that they're going to have in their life. So this is going to be great. I enjoyed it. You know, it was wonderful to even hear that she was a counselor. I'm like, oh, great. You can have a piece of ministry opening up for you right now, right in your lap, right there, in yourself. You know, frequently our task in life and our opportunities in life reach back to or hark back to something we're living at the time. As we're resolving it for ourselves, we develop a means of resolving it for others. So I'm excited. Listen, I want another call. So, you know, Ash, I have to say it again. I take my time because I'm ministering to a lot of people. And we have to do this because these issues are not just a single person. They belong to the body of Christ, and God is doing broadcasting counsel to address them. So I want to say that. Now, I'm ready for another caller. You have one?
I have one. All right. This is Nicole from Washington, and she is calling because she needs direction and mentors to get her business to the next level. Nicole, we welcome you to the Paula Price Show.
Hi.
Hello, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
You know, I'm on fire, girl.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm coming right in, landing right in under the moon right about now. You know?
Yeah.
Now, Nicole, let me ask you, what is your business?
It's a fashion business. I started a website with doing graphic T-shirts, different things
uh-huh.
that me and my partner writes. But I wanted to progress into a full clothing line.
Okay.
And I want to start off with one boutique and then let it expand all over the world.
Okay, so you need some business counsel. It's not this. Mm-hmm. See, this is more than a prophetic thing. You know, you can get a prophecy. Thus says God, you will have a fashion business or a series of boutiques, but only the person who's in that or doing it can help you. Again, remember, we talked about pitfalls and obstacles and adversaries. So what I would suggest, I'm going to pray for God to give you, to connect you with some counsel. Now, I'm sure that where you live, there's a chamber of commerce. I'm sure they have business meetings. So I'm going to give you tips because you kind of got the vision down pat, but you need tips. So a couple of things that I would do is you said you're on the website. Let me tell you, if you can't make money today on the web, you don't want a dime in your pocket. These people have everything online. You key in how to set up a fashion boutique. You key in how to do a this and how to do a that. It is all there. So what you need to do is engage in some research for a little bit because that's all you really need. You need some research. Well, that's not all you really need because you still do need somebody who's gone before. Here's my suggestion. I always give this suggestion. I'm never quite sure how it lands, but I still think it's wisdom. If you can find somebody who's already doing it, then see if you can partner with them. If you can't partner with them, see if you can intern with them and work for them for a little bit to get your mind around what it takes, what it calls for and all of that. I would suggest you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thinking you and your partner, so let's say there's a local boutique, or you want to work in a department store chain to find out how they do it on a big scale, or whatever. You want to be a manager for a while. You'll do take a managerial position in a large retail chain. But if you're going to do something, swim the pond a little bit. Go visit it, swim it, watch over it while you're researching, so that when you start, you bring down those opposition, those opposing forces, because we can call it the devil all day long, but he can't use anything but what we give him. So
right.
If we give him ignorance, he's going to use our ignorance. If we give him naivety, he's going to use our naivety. If we give him incompetence, he's going to use our incompetence. Whatever we give him, he's going to use, because he's the antithesis of the Almighty God. And whatever we give God, God's going to use. So I would suggest that you get knowledgeable and find out all of the things that you need to do in your town, because we have them here in Tulsa. We have business people. They have a retail association. They have a whole lot of buyers association, all of those things. You want to do that. And if you kid in the internet, it's going to tell you, because I tell you what, I have gotten so much information and so much advancement from just researching the web. I can't explain it. It is so marvelous. Mm-hmm. That's my suggestion to you.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to pray. You know you can't go without me praying, girl. Got to pray.
Right.
Can I ask you
another question?
You sure can.
I am thinking of moving to another city. Me and my partner are in two different cities. It's one
okay.
thing. And so we're thinking of moving to Atlanta for more opportunities, and like what you were saying, to find people that are already doing it. Because I feel like where I am, I'm having a hard time connecting with the people that I need to connect with. And so that's what I want to do. I want to connect with those people to get this thing going.
Okay, well, here's a couple of things I would tell you. Number one, is your partner a full partner? Or are they a financial partner? Or are they a marketing partner? What kind of a partner do you have?
She's a full partner.
Okay. So she's selling and you're selling, is that right?
Right.
Okay. Now, you said your business is web-based right now.
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I would say to you. If you want to move, first of all, I'm not going to speak into that as much as I want to speak into, are you equipped to be successful? When you relocate, you almost start from ground zero unless she has something going there. Does she have something going already?
No. We are at ground zero.
Ground zero. So you're going to incur the expense of moving into a land that you have to explore without an opportunity. So I want you to think about that, because some things I'm not going to tell you what to do. I just want you to think about what you're contemplating. And at this point, you're contemplating does she live in Atlanta?
No, she lives in New Orleans, which is my hometown.
Okay. So both of you all are going to go as strangers in the land, having to build from ground zero and to get to know. Now, you can't break through and get to know the people in the land that knows you. You're going to go in out under different foreign spirits and all of those kinds of things. I would suggest, if moving is what you want to do, you want me to put that off for at least 12 to 18 months. Do your research.
Okay.
Learn what you need to learn about the business. Make it work, even on a small scale, where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And carry that success. My years of experience on trying to build things, and goodness knows, I've built a lot and I'm an innovative woman, but I learned one thing. It's better to build off of success than it
mm-hmm.
is to build off of failure.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, you need to establish success somewhere. Something has to put you into the sphere of success, however small that is. So that's working alongside of another boutique owner today to get some information, to learn how to learn the ropes. Then you need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't just up and go on a dream and a humble. It is very hard to establish something in a new land that you know nothing about. And I realize that we are all 50 states, but we are not all carbon copies, and we're not clone states. America
right.
is not clone states. We are, honey, it's almost some of these states is like going to another nation. Their rules are
mm-hmm.
different. Okay? So you want to be very sure that when you go there, you've got finances, you've got contacts, you've got connections, you've got delivery folks, you've got sources, you know, buying sources. You want to be sure you have a lot going on. And then before you move, you all need to go there and just hang out for about 6 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And learn the land and see what you can set up. If it's a vision from God, it's never going to die because you wait to do it right. The only visions that die are those that we do in haste.
Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest you take 12 to 18 months. If you wait 12 months and you take the last 6 months, go in there, not just to set yourself up, but to just pack a bag and just show up on the land. You can make it happen, but it's a long, hard journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's what you want to do.
No.
Okay? So here's
all
what
right.
I want. Let's wrap this up so we can make sure we understand what I just said. Number one, you're going to put off moving for 12 to 18 months. If you wait 12 months, then you're going to spend 6 months. You know, you can get in an extended stay hotel or rent a house for 6 months or something and feel your way, explore what's going on. While you're waiting, you're going to connect with these possibilities in your town, and I know they're there. You may have to
mm-hmm.
pray for God to show them, but they're there, and you're going to learn the ropes with someone else. While you're waiting and accumulating money, you're going to need the money anyway, you're going to learn the ropes. You're going to serve somebody else, intern someplace. If your community college has some courses, you're going to take some business courses at the community college or something like that, some certificate courses. You can do that. You're going to connect with whatever organizations and associations in your town that relate to this. So if it's a retailers association, if it's a buyers club or whatever, you want to connect with that. These are only if you want to succeed. If you just want to get it out of your system, then none of this is going to matter. But if you want to succeed,
mm-hmm.
then these are what I'm giving you, things that are going to make it work. So you want to do that. You also want to research the Internet and see what you have so that when you relocate to Atlanta, which may or may not be the place, because
mm-hmm.
that's something else. The day you want to move someplace may not be the beginning for it, or it could be its end and your beginning. Because sometimes a wave can shift. So you might want to find out where it's going. Where are the new businesses succeeding most? Where are new businesses like yours migrating and succeeding most? So you want to make sure that Atlanta is the place. You know, you can't
mm-hmm.
just go there because everybody else said I went there, because there are just as many people not making it in Atlanta as there are that are making it. It's just the opportunities
right.
are great. So I want
mm-hmm.
you to hear me on that. you need to do your foundational work. You need that business plan. You need the business consultant. You need to talk to somebody who's going to help you do it. You know, and there are free agencies that can do this for you. You don't have to worry about funds. You know, you can go, there's some free agencies they have in different towns who can help you do this. But I'm cautioning you, Nicole, on jumping out, into, launching out into the deep without a net. We want you to take your time and get your net, fortify your net so that your catch will not break your net. You'll be able to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So those are some of the things I suggest. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Nicole. I thank you for her heart to do business, her heart to succeed. I thank you, Holy Father, that you are giving her the prudent answers, the soundness of mind to take and do this thing line upon line and precept upon precept. I'm asking that you would build her soul for what you've ordained her to do, that you would enlighten her understanding, show her the gaps, the dark places, and the deficits that she has that can trip her up later on. And God, I thank you that you take over this venture for her so that she can cause it to prosper wherever it goes. And if it's internet, then let it be internet. If it is land, let it be land. But I thank you for doing it, Father, in the awesome name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you, Nicole. I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Ashley.
Oh, yes. This is on fire today. Hot, hot, hot is what's happening.
Oh, I know. Isn't it wonderful? I love doing this, but I also love hearing how God is so desirous of putting, adding to his anchors wisdom and prudence and, you know, and exploration and investigation, that we're, this particular move, this, you know, actually we've talked about this being an era of sobriety, that this particular era is going to be one of soberness, that we don't just launch out because somebody said it or because we got a word. We're going to set up a plan. We're going to be very, very organized, very methodical, very, very tactical in the things we do, and not just, well, I got a word on Monday and I'm out on Friday. We're not doing that any longer, because no matter how in the moment a prophecy seems, or how right now a high spiritual service might be, or even how right now God's response or reaction to our prayer devotions may be, living it out in the planet is a 24/7, 365 affair. You can't get around that. If you can only work X amount of hours a day before you need sleep, you can only move one step at a time to go and pursue your vision. So why don't we build what we're doing within those constraints? Because those are not going to change. So I'm on it. Hey, do I have another call?
Yes, you do. Yes, you are on it. Okay. We have next on the line Darla from Texas, and she is calling in today, Dr. Price, because she needs prayer for protection, and she's in a crossroads in her life right now, and she is very confused, and she's very frustrated about her confusion. So, Darla, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello. How are you?
I am fine, Darla. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm trying to make it.
You're trying to make it. Well, let's see if we can get you a little more upbeat about making it. How about that? What's going on in your life?
Well, I'm, like, at a point in my life where I'm, like, really confused. I used to be able to hear from God, you know, speak to me. And so far here lately, I haven't been hearing him. And I've been really depressed and down and confused because I'm swaying in some two different churches, and it's like I'm having problems with my car, and there's like a whole bunch of bad things happening. It's like a routine, and I don't do anything wrong. Like, I go to church, I try my hardest to pay my tithes, I go to church, I do everything I can do to do right, but it's like a repeated pattern, and it's like, okay, I'm feeling like I moved back home because I'm not from Houston, or should I stay here? I mean, I don't know if God is telling me to move back home or, you know, stay here in Houston, but then again, if I move home, then it's not a good, you know, a good environment for me. God planted me here, and I had met a lot of, you know, Christian friends and everything, but it just seemed like everything with them, and, you know, it's not working out for me. I'm, like, really confused, and I don't know which way to go, and God told me that it was great. God spoke to me in a still voice one time and told me that I had greatness in me, and, you know, and I don't know how to tap into that greatness, and I'm confused because I really want to do what you want me to do, but then I don't know how to, you know, just tap into that greatness. I don't know how to get back on the right path, you know, like I was before in the past with him, intimacy.
Now,
and,
okay, well, let's talk about that. Now, where's home?
Wichita, Kansas.
Okay. Let's talk about this. I want to ask you some pointed questions, Darla. Based on the fact that God doesn't change without a reason. Mm-hmm. Typically, we change, and our change alters God. I want you to remember that. God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. So if God changes his methods and his relationship, he doesn't change his relationship, his interactions with us, then we need to realize that we have stepped into another side of him, another dimension of him that maybe we intended to or not intended to, or either he wants to shift us and we don't want to go. So having said that, when is the last time that you can say you heard from God? And I need you to get to the point.
I'll say, like, this year, like, a long time ago, I'll say a couple of months ago. Then the last time, the first time was, like, 3 years ago. I'll say two years ago in an audible voice. And ever since then, I just don't hear from him, and it scares me. And I'm, like, depressed and, you know, and overwhelmed because I don't know. I feel like I'm lost, and I feel alone.
All right. Now, I don't want you to revisit that because we don't want to revisit the emotion. I can't get my counseling. So, long time ago, you say it was 2 years ago that you heard God audibly. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, did you hear him audibly once, or is audible God's usual way of talking to you?
Once.
Okay. So you want God to repeat that audible thing?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, right. Okay. So, see, we got somewhere. So because he doesn't want to be a megaphone in your soul all the time, you're a little bit lost. Because you want him to do that. But you realize that when he, let's go back. When he spoke to you audibly, what did he say?
I was going through a crisis one time, and he spoke to me, and he said, good things come to those who wait.
Oh, boy, could that not be applying today? Okay? So here's the thing. So in effect, you're depressed because God's not speaking to you audibly. Or are you depressed because you've got a chain of events of other things going on in your life? What are you calling the point of your depression?
Because I don't know which direction to go, and I'm a little frustrated and confused, and not just that, I'm not really hearing from him like I want to hear from him, and it kind of puts me in the mind frame is, am I doing something wrong or what is it, you know, and I don't know how to feel.
Okay, let's just go back because I know this is important to you. So the last time you heard God audibly was 2 years ago, and then you said a couple of months ago. What happened? He talked to you, or he didn't talk to you, or what?
Well, like a couple of months ago, he said there was great. He told me, he said there's greatness in you is what I heard him say in a still voice.
Okay.
The first time it was the good things come to those who wait. And then the other time, I'll say, it was another time, he called my name, and he just said, Darla, and that was it. And I didn't know what to say, but then the scripture came to me, and I remember, I forgot who that was in the Bible that he called. I think it was Samuel. And I thought about that, and I didn't know what to say, but I was just like, yes, Lord. So you know, I'm new to all this, and I don't know, you know.
That's okay. You're new to it. All right, so a couple of things I'm going to tell you to do, and then I'm going to tell you how God talks, okay? Number one, you need to take my assessment. So when we're all done with our call today, I need you to get on the internet, drpaulaprice.com, take that assessment. What's going to happen is you're going to answer a bunch of questions that's going to help you discover who you are and how you hear God and how he speaks to you. That's the first thing. At the end of that, you're going to get an opportunity to get a 30-minute advisement with one of our advisor prophets, and that's going to give you an opportunity to get someone to listen to you and for you to talk with. They're going to review your assessment, and if you want more, then you'll arrange for a longer session so that you can cover this in depth. Having said that, God does not shout. When God shouts, it's a scary thing. God is a still, small voice God. And
yeah.
He leads us more by his spirit than by his voice on purpose. So that the few times that we hear him audibly, we know that that's more profound, more significant than what's normal. God is going to lead you by his spirit. That means through scripture, through the unction in your spirit, and all of that. That's the next thing. Another point I want to bring out to you, Darla, is that God is very comprehensive. So now I'm listening to the three things he told you. He called your name, which means he's telling you, I'm awakening you. I'm bringing you closer to me. He then told you good things come to those who wait, which means
yeah.
that was an admonishment, which means you were probably pushing him to do something or you were getting ready to jump into something that just wasn't going to be good for destiny. And then he says to you more recently that there's greatness in you, which means he's now getting ready to lead you to somebody or something that is going to harvest the greatness that's in you. So you are on a journey. Now, how long have you been saved? How long have you been with God?
I'll say when I had went through a crisis is when I really, really, really got to know him. I went through I'm not going to get into the deep conversation into it, but like I had went through a problem in my life. And
how many years?
I did.
Darla?
It was
how many
3 years?
3 years. So you're new. Okay, so you're new. You're asking God to treat you like y'all been walking together for 40 years. And
yeah.
Okay, so that's just not going to happen. So you do need a mentor. And so
yes.
If you don't have one in your church, when you take the assessment, you'll get an opportunity to get into one of our mentorship programs. You are enthusiastic. I think you are as sweet as they come. I like that. I love it when God starts developing new people in the kingdom and new messengers for his truth because we're enthusiastic. You're enthusiastic. You're hungry. You're eager. Don't lose that. But be patient. That's what he's saying. Good things come to those who wait. What you're asking of God has been a very unusual with you. He's dealt with you kind of, atypically in terms of what he's doing. But he's obviously dealing with you according to the office that you're going to be occupying one day. You're going to find that out when you take the assessment. But you need to be patient with God. The bad things that are happening to you is because there is an unclean spirit that's taking advantage of your frustration. And so the more you voice how things are not working, the more it's saying to you, yeah, you're right, it's not working. Oh, yeah, did you see that? Yeah, well, why don't I break your car? Well, why don't I get your job? Because it's reinforcing your own negativity. You believe that because you're not having God the way you think you should have him, you believe that you are being punished. So a punishing spirit is exploiting the situation. So we're going to end that. That's going to end today. We're not going to have that. But you're going to recognize that you are, if you're 3 years in God, that's like you having a three-year-old who's angry with you because you won't let them drive the car. You're going to have to, it takes the time it takes. You're going to have to grow in him, and you're going to have to learn him. You need to get in a good school, a good ministry school, starting off that's going to start you off with really understanding the spiritual landscape of the world that you're in Christ. I think you're obviously very prophetic. So you're going to need to start developing in that. But you are at least 6 to 8 years out from what you want God to do, from the relationship you want. So you're going to have to, you're doing well. You said, I'm in a church, I'm paying my tithes, et cetera. If you're not in a church that has an open portal to God's voice, you need to get in one because not all churches are portals for God's voice. So you need to get in one. And when you do your advisement or whatever, you can find that out. Because I don't want to go through that. But the first thing I want to tell you is that God is not punishing you. He is not angry with you. He is dealing with you according to your capacity to receive and benefit from his interactions and his overtures in your life. So if it takes you 2 months for him to break through another layer to circumcise your ear or circumcise your heart or your soul to get something else, he's saying correct, that he's going to do it. But the last thing I'm going to tell you, and this is the plight of all new prophetic people, prophetic novices. We get addicted to God's intimacy, to his overtures, to his voice, to his thoughts, to his feelings. We get so addicted that, and God allows that for a season. But eventually, he needs us to be able to handle the rest of him and the rest of his world and his kingdom. So what I hear from you is that God is ready to turn you over to a human mentor to be developed for him. Does that make sense to you, darling? Hello?
Dr. Price, she dropped off the line there.
Well, she'll call back.
Yes, and fortunately, this wisdom is being recorded. Let me see here if I can see where she is. Nope, I don't see her back yet. So go ahead and wrap that thought, and then we'll move on.
Well, that's what I thought. I figured if it's being recorded, then let's wrap it. So, and for those of you all who are listening, you've heard how God awakens someone who is new to him. But when you're new to God, you are eager. You want God to speak all the time. You want all of that exploits. You know, that's the kid that wants to stay in the playground all the time because it's fun. But eventually, you got to go to school. Eventually, you got to be trained. Eventually, you've got to learn how to work the kingdom of God. Say to all of you out there, it is not God's common practice to speak to us audibly. It can't be. His word, he's too powerful. His words are too powerful. So he has a channel that he establishes, and every one of us is a still small voice. So my suggestion to you all is that if any of you who haven't done it, I want you to go to, after the call, go to my website, drpaulprice.com, take an assessment. After you take your assessment, get an advisement. If you've already taken an assessment and you have, you still want to go forward in some things, we have life advisement programs where you can have one of our advisor prophets counsel you and mentor you all the way through where you have to go. It's there for you. Just call the office, and again, the numbers are on the site, and you can figure it out. I'd like to encourage all of you to also who haven't done so, get my dictionary, the Prophet's Dictionary, very popular book. It's very popular in prophetic circles, one of the best-selling books in the circle, and also get the companion, the Prophet's Handbook, which is what she just talked about. It's in that handbook. Her very issue is in that handbook. It talks about what happens when God stops being very obvious or overt with novice prophetic people. Talks about the confusion, talks about the frustration and all of that. Now, I would have liked to have prayed for her to be delivered. So I'm just going to speak into this program. God, I thank you for visiting her, for visiting Darla and delivering her from that punishing spirit that is usurping your authority in her life and that is manipulating her into a false reality that is not you. So I bind that thing, cancel that assignment in her life, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Okay, Ashley, do we have any kind of announcements or something?
We sure do. You know, Dr. Price, we're never short on announcements. And so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back.
Spiritual Leadership for Ministries is an ever-changing frontier. There are thousands of books on what makes for a great leader, how to get the best out of your people, how to grow your church or expand your vision. However, there are few books to tell a leader when they're doing it right. Of course, there are the signs of progress and proof of outcomes, but as a leader, wouldn't you really like to know the truth? There are 10 things every leader should know who sincerely want to be successful in ministry. What type of ministry do I really have? What type of members does my leadership attract? What are the gifts and callings currently active in my ministry? What is the ministerial readiness of each individual? Who is the most compatible with my vision? Do I have the people I need to achieve the vision? Do I have the right people in the right positions? Do I know the hidden potential within my ministry? Are my people sufficiently equipped to replicate my message? Not having answers to these questions has proven to make spiritual leadership challenging for many ministers. The key to great leadership is producing great people. Any organization is only as strong, effective, and excellent as the people that comprise it. When you know your people, you know your organization. Rediscover yours by considering the Standardized Ministry Organizational Assessment. Sign up online today by visiting www.ppmglobalresources.com.
How would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Okay, well, thank you. First of all, I want to thank you, Dr. Price, for having me on the call tonight. It is such a privilege to actually reach out to your audience and just tell them firsthand what the assessment in PPM Global has done personally in my life and also in the ministry that God has us overseeing. The assessment itself is just phenomenal. We have a lot of different people coming through our ministry and building. We're in the process of building and establishing our ministry. We've been planted for 6 years. And there's a lot of things that's going on in our ministry that we're trying to get a handle on. And you know how in ministry you go through certain seasons of your life and it's almost like you want to know how do we get to the next step. You want to keep moving forward. Well, we got to a place where we were always searching. So God, help us to mature and help us to get to that next level. And God planted PPM Global on our pathway, and we're so thankful for that because with PPM Global, it allowed us to actually tap into something that we would not otherwise tap into. The assessment that you guys have is such a blessing to us because, it's, as you always say in your advertisement, it's not a test. It's an assessment. And one of the great things about this assessment is, you know, I like to say this. I've been telling people that I've been talking about the assessment at PPM Global. I said, listen, this is for serious inquiries only. If you're not looking to know and grow, then this is probably not the thing for you because they're gonna tap into some things and bring revelation knowledge to you, and they're also going to help you grow in the very things that God has called you to grow in and to move in. And so this assessment has been great for our ministry. My wife and I lead the church, and we took the assessment first, and then it just impacted us so much that we wanted our church to be a part of it. So we took a small group, and we had them to take the assessments. And I tell you what, just to be honest with you, it shook the church. It shook those who had taken the assessment, and it really shook them at the core because a lot of the things that my wife and I had been telling them and a lot of things that they needed to know, this assessment brought it up. It just didn't, you know, a lot of times we take different things like this and we want to identify just gifts or spiritual gifts. But this assessment is different. It's not just identifying gifts and offices and spiritual gifts that you may function in. It's also, it's releasing a lot more than that. I mean, it's talking about some of the character that you have, the ethics that you have, you know, how you see and approach ministry, the mentality that we have toward the Bible. There's a lot of different, I think it's 22 categories that the assessment covers, and I just can't cover. I know you guys have done a wonderful job doing that, but there's so much that it covers outside of just the gift and spiritual gifts in your office that really helped us as a ministry identify some of the roadblocks, some of the resistances that my leadership had, the part of the ministry that actually took it that's in lay ministry, some of the roadblocks that they had. And this is not necessarily ministry, it's personal. It's in their own character.
All right, and that was a snippet of a testimony from Apostle Mark Kelly talking about he's a leader over his church. and what the assessments have done for them. So just so our listening audience knows the impact and the inroads that the assessments are making right now in the body of Christ.
Well, and I tell you, I appreciate him, and you know, I like hearing from the other people. You know, Ash, I want to talk about something. You know, when I was developing you guys as far as developing the prophetic company, one of the things that I have, and I've been training prophets for a lot of years, and it's a constant thing, the one trip up to prophetic excellence and even competence is the prophet's unwillingness to come out of their private devotional mentality with Christ. They, because God calls a prophet face-to-face, and then he begins to reaffirm that call in various ways, in prayer, devotions, giving them words, and letting them know the words are coming to pass. When it's time for God to get that prophet ready for his body, they want to leap into authority or position over the over a body and over a populace that they've never even encountered prophetically or were never exposed to as a up-and-coming prophet. And so what happens is the prophet is so in love with their intimacies with Christ that they don't realize that the Jesus that is running the world is bigger than that guy that's making them feel warm and fuzzy in the prayer closet. And so what we have found, and I've had classes, I mean, I've had whole classes where people got angry, quit the class because they said, well, one of two things happen. Well, God ceases to talk to me. So because he doesn't talk to me any longer, I believe it's because of this school. Okay, right. Or, well, you cannot tell me that I don't hear God, and you cannot tell me that what I'm hearing is right or wrong. Well, the problem with both of those responses is that you can be 100% right, but only you and God know it. No one else knows you as a prophet. No one else understands you prophetically. No one knows whether God is speaking to you. We don't know the depth of experience you have with God. We can't measure the percentage of accuracy that you have with God. You can write it in your journal, but there's no one verifying. And when it comes to public ministry, credibility and verification are essential. And you only get that by the people that God have already doing this. And that he's already been using for years. So I would like to say to those of you who are prophets and you're having a, or you're budding prophets, awakening prophets, and you're having a great time in the prayer closet, if you're only going to minister to God in the prayer closet for the next 25, 30 years, hey, have at it. But if you plan to take what God is sharing with you in the prayer closet into the public arena, you're going to have to go by way of the guards that he has in place. You're going to have to go by way of the trainers, the handlers, and the gatekeepers that he's been relying on for years while you were trying to decide to wake up. And you cannot ignore the existing staff of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has to get you ready for his people by sending you through the people that he has already groomed to do that for him. And you can't ignore that. You can't say, well, I don't care. I prophesy better than so-and-so. Who knows? You're the 12 people at your little sewing circle or at your little restaurant meeting. Nobody knows you. You've got to be known and proven. And so if you're a prophet and you're saying, I really want God to use me, then guess what? You're going to have to go by the rules of the institution because it's established. God is not going to tear down this whole thing for one person. He sent Jesus Christ to the planet, who was going to be the change agent and going to change the whole thing, closing out one institution, opening up another. But you know what? He never let Jesus disrespect the Mosaic institution he had in place. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, listen, they sit in Moses' seat, so you do what they say, even if you don't do what they do. You cannot ask God to use you in a capacity that you disrespect and think that he's going to trust you in that context. If he already knows that you are disrespectful to his existing God, guess what? He's not going to send you there. Paul got called, had to go through Peter, James, and John. That's how it goes. So when God is training you, yeah, he's going to stop talking because he wants you to start now listening through him, through the staff and the leaders and the guardians that he has in place. So he will stop talking. He will stop talking because he wants to train you to be a collaborator, a cooperative person, and he wants you to be a co-laborer and a partner. He wants you to be a team player. And so even though God calls you in private, He's got. If you want him to use you in public, you've got to get along with the public he's been using. Anyway, Ashley, I thought that was just needful considering our last call, you know?
Woo! You cannot ask God to use you in a capacity that you disrespect. See? That's the second week you're hitting on something like that. I think you're tapping into a situation here.
I'm sure that I am because, you know, when you're with God, between you and God, he makes you feel special because God is special. Anything that comes near him is going to feel special, you know, and picked out. But you have got to respect what the Lord has done before he starts calling you. You can't ignore and beat down and bash what he's built and then think he wants to use you in that. You're not going to go in as his representative and at his advantage. You're going to go in as an antagonist. You're going to go in as a destroyer. And so I would and for prophets, that's a hard thing. And I can say that because I've, first of all, lived it, but then I've developed prophets. I have had people that said this, I don't care what you say, I know what God says to me. Well, then that's fine. What God says to you, I won't argue with unless you want to say it to the public. Now, I'm a guardian, so it's up to me to tell you whether or not what God says to you is going to his public the way he wants them entertained. I can't tell you how many times God has given me words that I thought were for the public and they were for me. They were private admonishments. So I would say to all of you all, again, I invite those of you who haven't done so to take my assessment, drpaulaprice.com, click take an assessment, and find out, A, whether or not you are a prophet, a prophesier, a seer, a dreamer of dreams, a psalmist. What are you? You need to know where you fit because there is no cookie-cutter pattern for the prophetic. So you need to know that. We don't all fit in the same sphere. Some of us belong in business. Some of us belong in the church. Others belong in government. Somebody else belongs in the arts. Someone else belongs in education. Where do you fit? You need to know where you fit in this thing because we don't all have the same call or dimension. I think, Ashley, we've got time for one more call today, and then we'll wrap it up for this Thursday.
And one more I have. This is Maureen from Ohio. She has taken the assessment, and I believe she is on the training program. And so Maureen is calling because she needs healing. She was injured on her job. She's actually home today because she cannot work. She injured a hand and a shoulder, and so she needs prayer concerning that. Maureen, you are live with Dr. Price.
Hi, Dr. Price.
Hi, Maureen. I'm sorry to hear about your injury. How is it coming? Are you mending?
Right now I've been off for the last couple of days, and I'm going to see my doctor on Monday anyway. So I had a simple fall, and I ended up hurting my wrist and my shoulder, and it's like I'm in a state of shock, to say. I put it that way. In a state of shock, Dr. Price, and I was really, and not only was I calling for that, I was calling because I needed some wisdom so that I can bring the closure some things in my family this weekend as well. And I'm the only person that's able to do it. And also, we're healing from the loss of our oldest sister, whose birthday which happens to be today. She would have been 61 had she lived. And, you know, we just need healing. Our family, my family need healing today. So
yes.
that's where I'm at. And I just need the strength. I need direction and guidance as far as, like, where am I going to be? I got 20 years on the job, and I'm ready to retire. I'm a union steward. I've been winning cases. I've been winning a lot of cases lately. I won 5 cases, and there are some other opportunities that's available to me. I took the assessment. I love the assessment. I tell anybody, please take the assessment. I don't care who you are in the body. Take the assessment course because it is for you. Because when you take the assessment, you won't have to be groping around in the rest of your Christian life finding out who you are. These assessments are pinpoint, and they are precise, concise, and to the point.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the support and the testimony. I want to say to you a couple of things. Maureen, I'm going to tell you what you need to do, and that is you need to get yourself and 2 other family members who agree with you and spend time in prayer over your family for the next several days. I hear God saying the next several weeks. So you need to form Just you. You only need three people. You and two more people to form a nice little intercessory circle that prays for the family. Not criticize. Not chop them up. Not accuse. Not beat them down. Not even hold them to their past mistakes. But simply praise the will of God for your family. Now, when this happens, you're going to get revelation. You're going to get insight, and you're going to get words of knowledge and wisdom from God on how to handle your family collectively and each person, each affected member individually.
Okay.
God said there is no magic trick to this. You have to start giving of your time and yourself. You know, often we want to just speak to them. We want to counsel. We want to even go and pray with them personally so they know our prayers did it. But I'm telling you, for you, God says you and two other people set a day. I don't care if it's one day a week. You set a day and you get together and pray for your family at least 1 hour a day and start out with 2 weeks, just 1 hour. And you can do it by phone. You don't even have to get in one another's house. Thank God for technology. But when you do, and then each one of you get a journal and write down what the Spirit of God is telling you about your family member, not to beat them over the head with it, but to understand the work he's doing in them. Because when a family is as troubled as yours, there is more than one thing. This loss may have been the trigger that caused a whole other group of issues to come to the surface. But you need to pray for your family. I just hear God saying your family is prayer naked, prayer destitute.
Prayer destitute, you said, Dr. Price?
Yes, that is what I said.
Okay.
So you all need that. And every family that's represented here needs to have its own circle of intercessors. You know, you start praying for your family and doing it deliberately and doing it consistently, you're going to see God do things. Instead of yelling at them and ridiculing them and mocking them or alienating them, what if you sat down and said, our family intercessors are this group, and you're going to pray. And whatever you get in prayer, you're not going to blast it all over the place and blab it, because you're trying to take care of this thing behind the scenes. And then watch God work on the surface. And if you start it, don't give it up. Don't give it up. Just say, you know what? I believe, God, through prayer, we can change our family. And we're going to change our family with just our little trio of intercessors. And if that trio doesn't work, you keep changing it until you get one that's more conducive. Because you'll get some people who want to show off. You'll get some people who are rival. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to find more rivalry than in families. But God is going to put together the group that works, and that's going to be a staple in that family. We're just going to pray. Just us three. We're going to get together 1 hour a week. We're not going to let rain, shine, or anything hit, so you might as well pick an hour that works, and you're just going to pray and decree. I mean, that is a powerful thing, because what our families lack is prayer coverage and consistent prayer coverage. And if you pick the same hour, Maureen, every week, the spiritual forces assigned to your family will be ready to meet you when you all come. Eventually, you'll get known in that circle, in their world, and in their assignment, sphere of assignment, and they're going to be ready, and they're going to do the work in your family, because they're going to release God to touch the hearts and to change the situations that will bring a healing in your family.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
That's the answer I feel. Now, it's going to be great. Make sure that you all keep your journal. Each person keeps a separate journal. And when you have this, you do not divulge the secrets to the other people of the family. This is a confidential project. And eventually, through the intercessors, the family prophet and the family counselor will emerge. And you'll be surprised what God will do if you consistently turn from their issues into his solution.
Yes, ma'am.
Hallelujah. That's what your family needs. They need complete prayer covering. Father, I'm going to pray because we're running out of time, and I think that we've addressed what you need. Oh, the other thing that you need, you know, you would do well, if that's your career, you would do well taking some mediation courses so that you can start helping people resolve issues outside of your job using those years of experience.
I signed up for a couple of weeks ago for EEO.
Okay.
EEO. at my job, because I've been carrying mail for 20 years, and I'm ready to make some changes right now. And I'm not as I'm 51, and when I got injured on Tuesday, I tried to turn over and get back up again, but I mean, time just had to let me know it, like, you can't do it like you used to.
It's just time for a change. That's all. And sometimes if we don't make a change of our own free will, situations will help us make it.
Yeah.
So let me pray. Father, thank you so much for Maureen. God, I thank you for her call today. And the first thing I want to do is send forth the spirit of comfort and consolation on her family. Lord, I ask that you would help to bear the burden and shoulder the burden of their grief, God, so that they can go through this difficult time in peace. They can go through it in calm and still, Lord, know that you are there with them and beside them. I'm asking, God, that this prayer group that comes out of her family, out of today's council, is handpicked by you, Lord, not anyone else. And I'm asking that they meld, that they bond together immediately, quickly, without contention, without strife or rivalry, so that the work that you want to do in this family and the things that you want to get done happens and happens quickly. And, Father God, we give you the praise for it. So I anoint that group right now, that family intercessors group, I anoint it right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you that you will establish them quickly and that you will effectuate what they're doing rapidly, Father, so that this family can be relieved of the burdens and the troubles and the trials that it's been carrying around for so long. And we bless you for it, Father, in Jesus' omnipotent name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Price. Appreciate you.
You too. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Ashley, how are we doing?
You're doing great. You know, you're up for your closing thoughts for today.
Oh, boy. I tell you, this has been a fast time, but it's also been a kind of a meaty couple of hours, huh?
Oh, I'm sure we have no idea how meaty this really is.
Well, it's an honor. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me every week. I feel you. I feel your needs. We don't stop. There are times that God calls me and lets me know that I'm praying for somebody who joins me on Thursday. Sometimes he lets me know the issue. Sometimes he tells me the name and all of that. I would just tell you that I have a caller from Florida who is asking God to intervene in a matter, who is asking God to press through. You didn't get through today, but let me tell you, God heard, and he told me to tell you, not only is your breakthrough coming, he said, but stand firm. Don't back down off of the word that he told you to give. He said, but be gracious, because your issue is that sometimes you get so full of the Spirit of God and the grace of God and the power of God that you forget to be gracious. It's still falling on flesh, and it's falling on people. So the Lord said to tell you, whoever you are that were on the line for me, I need you, or on this call, I need you to know, God says, I have my hand in that matter, and it will turn out for his good and for your good. And he said, for his sake, he's going to listen to you and grant your prayer request and intervene. That is the word of the Lord for you on this matter. For the rest of you all, I say thank you. Don't forget to join me on Tuesday night when we deal with leadership and assessment and evaluation is very important. It helps our leaders. And until next Thursday, Ashley, I'm going to let you close it out. God bless you.
All right. Thank you for tuning in. Like Dr. Price said, we always look forward to hearing your voice on Thursday. Don't forget about Tuesday nights where Dr. Price is teaching us about the relevance and importance and purpose of the assessment and assessing where the body of Christ is, what type of church you may have. So God bless you all, and I look forward to next time myself.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.
Cool. Can I just interject that for all of your listeners and for those who may listen later on the recording, I have taken your assessment. So I have to tell people it is crucial that you do that for yourself, that you invest in yourself to find out what God has placed in you, and that it is completely worth it. It is not just, you know, grandma's old spiritual gifts test, so to speak. It is in-depth. It is, oh my goodness, multiple layers, and it just opens you up to what God has placed in there. And then when you get the advisement on, now what do you do in terms of steps? So that's my promo.